Today is the Feast of the Holy Family. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. And all whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, they, going up into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did ye not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate a special feast in the liturgical year, a feast which celebrates the Holy Family. It was a feast that has its foundations centuries ago. It was instituted as a feast through the Universal Church by Pope Leo XIII in 1892. And it was in part due to the fact that he could see at that time that there were attacks being made on the family. I always, when I think about these kinds of things, I always wonder what would he have said or thought today. So this is a sacred thing, the idea of the family, the institution of the family. And this institution of the family was, of course, such that it was founded by God himself, founded from the very beginning. He made it so that the family was the context, the means in which he brought in new life, he created new life. And it's a divine institution in that way. And it's a natural institution that's meant to be, and of course we can see that it is God's will is involved in this. We see that also it's supernaturalized. It's supernatural by the fact by our Lord who decided it was his own will, his own volition, to be such that he came into this world, became incarnate in the context again of a family. He could have come into the world in different ways. He could have come into the world as an adult. He could have come into the world, you know, as a fully grown without any dependence on anyone. But he didn't. He came as a small child, and he was then in the confines of his parents, Mary and Joseph, and this is the confines in which he learned and worked and lived. And this Holy Family is an example. an example to us, showing what family needs to be. St. Joseph was the head of the Holy Family. He led, directed the Holy Family. Mary was the one who, of course, was at the foundation of the family, the mother, the one who was there taking care and nurturing her son. And Jesus was there as such a one who was subject to his mother and his father. It's interesting to see that at this time, in the beginning, of course, when we see the Feast of the Annunciation, we see the angel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary, announcing to her that she was to become the Mother of God. But after the fact that the Holy Family came to be, it was not the angel that came to Mary, but it was St. Joseph. It was St. Joseph who was told, take his wife and the child, flee into Egypt. He's also told to return back to his home in Nazareth. It was the angel who spoke to him, not to Mary. And it was our Lord who was subject to Mary and Joseph, obedient to them. They express great emphasis on the words, he was subject to them. And it's very interesting to see that in this order of dignity, we see that our Lord is number one because he's God. Number two, the second highest is Blessed Virgin Mary because she is without sin. The lowest of all three is St. Joseph. But according to the task that they have within the Holy Family, St. Joseph is number one. He is the head of the Holy Family. Mary is such as his spouse. And Jesus is then the son, subject to both Mary and Joseph. So it doesn't matter how important the individual is in this whole situation. They follow the role and are such that they act according to the role that they have within this family. It's important that we see this, and we see this as an example for us in our daily lives as well. And that we keep intact this family, which is being torn apart by modern society, which is being deformed and torn apart in many different ways. It even has effects on you in your own families. Even though you might think that everything is fine within your families, there are problems. Problems that are brought about by the situation of modern society. The problem that I'd like to address today, or the difficulties I'd like to address today, have to do with the idea of the general term of mobility or presence, where one is. It's interesting to see that early on there were problems with this idea of mobility, of where one is, and its effect on the family. When the missionaries came to this country to convert the American Indians, they brought the faith. They taught the catechism. But they did more. They did more. If you look at the way in which the missionaries came to this country, they came not only to bring the faith, which is the essential, but they also taught them certain things that would be helpful for them in their home life. They taught them something which you might think is not all that important. They taught them something about agriculture, about farming, about raising food. You see, the American Indians, by their nature, were somewhat nomadic, certainly the men. The men knew that they had to provide for their families, and they did so by the hunt, which took them sometimes for days and weeks away from the home. Something that destabilizes the home, leaving the wife and children alone while the husband went out to look for food. By bringing agriculture to them and teaching them about agriculture, It helped to stabilize the family, to keep the husband, the father, at home providing for the family. It made it so that the family would be intact, that the man who leads can be there with the family instead of being away. It then helped to stabilize things so that there was this unit of the family was remained so that they could practice the faith without having someone leave and go off for long periods of time. There is this great importance of having stability in the home, of having a home life. And, of course, there have been problems throughout history that have caused difficulties for this. During World War II, there was a problem in that many of the men were off in battle. And, of course, then to support the war effort, oftentimes women they went into the factories, causing the family to be pulled from both ends. And, of course, after the war then, men came back home, those who survived. They came back home, but their wives continued to work. And people became more and more dependent on two income families. Two incomes required for the family. At least they felt that they had to have that. Again, it's a force which militates against the home life. It's true that men have to be the wage earners, and they have to, obtain the means necessary for the family to survive. It's true. It's their duty to state, and they have to go out. It's, of course, recommended that they avoid staying out for extended periods of time where they're away from the family, because the family needs that support. They need that direction, and the children need to be formed, and it's the father who needs to direct. But today we are having a problem, too, with people who go out and they voluntarily spend time away because they have a certain mobility provided by certain things, certain technological improvements that we have, if you want to call them improvements, that make it so that it pulls the family apart. The ease of travel makes it so that people find themselves separated. Planes and cars and all kinds of things like that take people away from the home. And oftentimes people do it not by necessity, but by choice. Unfortunately, today that means that homes sometimes are merely an address. An address where mail comes, an address where people sleep, not much more than an email address. They hang their hat, they sleep there, but they hardly spend time together. The idea of having a meal together daily as a family is something that's not had very often, let alone a time to pray together. People are out and about, running here, running there. I have to go here, I have to go there, I got this to do, I got that to do. As a result, the home is vacant. The home is vacant. Or the children come home to a vacant home. Another thing that happens, too, is with the advent of modern technology, you have a problem with other things that pull people away. A person is where he is by where he's acting. Okay. And people may physically be in the home. Okay. He may have his physical body may be in his home, but he is elsewhere. In that he is active in his thoughts and his ideas elsewhere. Mentally, he's somewhere else. You know, for an angel who doesn't have a physical body, an angel is in a place by where he acts. And today, people are different places, even though they may be physically located in the home. For instance, the idea of television, of telephone. They take people somewhere else. They're outside the home because their mind is elsewhere. They're really not at home. They may be physically sitting in the couch, but they're actually somewhere else. They're not in the home. They're experiencing other things. By sight and sound, they're experiencing experiencing different things that don't have to do with being at home. They are virtually taking a virtual trip elsewhere. And is that really where they should be? People use a telephone now so frequently that they like to use it so that they can visit, do more than visit, just be someplace else talking to somebody else. And with the advent of the smartphone, it even makes it worse. You know, you see it from time to time if you go out to have something to eat at a restaurant, you see all these people, they pull up their smartphones, and they are actually communicating with smartphones to people elsewhere while they're sitting around the table with a certain number of people where they're going to have a meal with. They're not really enjoying a meal together. They're actually spending their time elsewhere because they're bored with the people that are sitting at the table with them. They are elsewhere. And people take that time also when they are on these phones, they take themselves elsewhere. They're not where they physically are. They're someplace else. They're somebody else. They're someplace else. And so we see this. We see this and it becomes a problem because people spend their time elsewhere, running here and there on devices that are communicating with elsewhere, the children playing video games that take them someplace else, or watching movies that take them someplace else. They are such that they are in a virtual world, a world of the screen, a world which takes them completely and totally away from where they really need to be. It's an invasion of the home. An invasion of the home and an invasion where parents don't even know where their children are, at least mentally, intellectually. We're no longer living in a physical world, we're living in an electronic world. And the home is no longer the sanctuary it used to be. The problem also exists when you talk about the fact that, you know, communication used to be very much a personal thing. The person came to your house and visited, or you went to somebody else's house and visited. It was one of these ideas of being such that you're talking to one another face to face. They've now substituted that with something called Facebook. You're not really there, but you push a few buttons and you're in a different environment. And in many of the situations, there is no adult supervision. With the ideas of social media, with the ideas of email. It used to be when mail used to be a physical letter that came into the house. The parents looked at the return address. Who is that? What's going on? Now with the advent of email, no one even knows what's going on. It can be done in complete privacy, secrecy. And parents are oblivious to what's going on with their children. I've even seen situations where, like, for instance, you have situations where there's someone in the hospital. I went to visit recently someone in the hospital. He was in a bad situation. They even were sedating him so that he would not feel all of the extreme pain that he was in. And I see with him in his room, to their credit, was the older children. They were teenagers or in their 20s. But what were they doing? They were playing around with their smartphones and enjoying themselves while Dad was in the bed right next to them, suffering. The state in life is very important. Where you are and what you're doing is very important. We're not playing games in this life. And the Holy Family gives us an example that they were at home. They were doing their duties. They were fulfilling their duties of state. Think of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, as she was with our Lord on Calvary. There's the beautiful him at the Stabat Mater, at the cross or station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping. If she were alive today and had to endure with her son the passion, I don't think she'd be there with a smartphone communicating. She'd be without that, of course. We have to live in the state and follow our state of life. We have to be faithful to our state in life. We can't just have these devices that take us elsewhere. We can't just be such that we are running around here, there, and everywhere, but not fulfilling our duties of state. How many times I've been in situations where they have certain people have certain duties that they need to fulfill, like, for instance, homework. And they say, I didn't have time. Yes, well, what were they doing with their time? I can only imagine. But you see, these things, they pull ones away from fulfilling their duties of state. They don't fulfill their duties of state, and off they go doing all kinds of other things because they prefer not to. And they can easily travel by means of electronic media elsewhere. Or they can easily be such that a friend of theirs is going here, there, or somewhere else, take them for a ride, and off they go. They're not at home. They're not at home. And so in all of this, we have to see the model and example of the Holy Family, how they fulfilled their duties of state, what they did as husband, as father, as wife and mother, as child. They were fulfilling those duties every day, doing them well. They give us a shining example of what we need to be doing. And of course, it's a very vocal, very visual comment on modern society, rebuking modern society for all of its frivolities and all of the things it does, which destroy and militate against the family. And so on this day in which we celebrate this Feast of the Holy Family, we need to see that example. We need to take it to heart. We need to make our homes so that they are sanctuaries in which we can grow and live, in which we grow in grace and age in this situation where we have God in our lives, where we have the Holy Family that feels comfortable in being with us so that we can use this thing that God has created, this institution of the family, so as a means of grace to help new souls that are meant to come into being so that they are formed properly, so that they can live holy lives and, of course, be faithful to what God wants and be able to work to sanctify their souls as we go through this life so as to prepare for the life that we hope to have for all eternity in the presence of the Holy Family in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.